fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to The Other Side. I am Jim Harold, and I'm looking forward to our program today. Our guest is someone very special. He's truly a Renaissance man. I'm talking about Alan Valiant. Alan was born in 1920 in Montreal, Canada, and served in the RAF for 14 years, including the Battle of Britain and the invasion of Normandy. And he's worked in many different capacities as an engineer in radio electronics, electrical, and several other areas. He's an inventor, a designer and builder of four diver transport vehicles, among other things. Musician, he's an author, and we're going to be talking to him today about some of his books, including How to Talk with the Dead, My Conversations with Jesus Christ, Why Believe When You Can Know, and My Meetings with the Lord God. An aviator, a lecturer, a diver, a linguist, a psychic researcher, and a clairvoyant and telepath. So we look forward to speaking with him today. Mr. Valiant, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, certainly you have a very erudite background. And first of all, thank you for your service to the Allies during the Second World War. It is a pleasure to thank you for that. We certainly appreciate that. And all of folks of your generation did for all of us. I have to ask, though, it seems like as an engineer, you have a pretty buttoned-down background. How did you go from that into getting interested in the metaphysical and the spiritual?
Well, it started, I think, when I was about 10 years old. My mother sent me to Sunday school and church, and I'm afraid that during those sessions, I just couldn't accept what they were telling me. It just didn't seem right. When I went to the library, I used to take only two kinds of books out. One was on spiritualism, and the other was on electrical engineering, even at that age. So I was interested in engineering. To put it bluntly, I was interested in why I was here. That was my main wonder. What was life all about? What was I doing here? Well, and later on, it wasn't until I was 30 that I began to get some answers. Until then, I'd been wondering what God was, who God was. During the war, like many other people, I used to think, is there a God? But then when I realized that he'd given us free will, it's not God who's controlling people or slaughtering each other. But later on, when I was in my early 30s, I learned how to leave my body, astral travel, or exteriorize, sometimes called. Once I had been able to do that, I realized that I could not cease to exist. It gave me a conviction that the mind was separate from the body and therefore separate from the brain. Once I had established that I could exist without a physical body, that was really a great stepping stone in my understanding.
Fascinating. Now, when you talk about how to talk with the dead, when you speak of talk to the dead, do you literally mean you talk and they talk back? Do they send you messages, unsaid messages, but basically almost kind of a psychic message? I guess the first question is, when did you find out that you could do this, and what form does it take?
It was an amazing event. I was brought by very clever means by the spiritual hierarchy, which I'll talk about later, to meet my late wife, Amanda. And it turned out that once we had got into communication, which incidentally began by my saying to her, what do you say we try the Ouija board? Mm-hmm. Well, I set one up with cards around a small table and put a glass on it. And we got some just odd letters and silly things to start with. But after a few days, we began to get plain language. First of all, our departed relatives came through and spoke to us. So we were using this laborious method of the Ouija board, the glass going from one letter to another, you know, the sort of thing.
Yes.
But we were getting plain language. Well, then, once we had become more proficient, Amanda was spoken to by God, and it turned out that she had been she was the wife of a general in Canada in the late 1700s, in the time of General Wolfe. And because the spiritual hierarchy, whose members were not known until she revealed them, were all men, they had for a long time wanted a woman amongst them. So they chose her to be the first woman in the spiritual hierarchy. And she drowned in a lake nearby. And from that time on, which was approximately 150 years ago, she was trained in heaven with the Sphere 8 hierarchy for a new incarnation. Well, she came to Earth again in 1927, and the plan was that they had for that she would marry a doctor, and between them they would open a clinic with enormous spiritual healing. Well, unfortunately, that was scuppered by the fact that her mother died when she was 9, her father turned her into a slave, she married the first man she could after the war, and he turned to be suppressive and she had to divorce him. I also had to divorce my first wife, so we were then free to be brought together. To come back to the Ouija board, we began working on that for some time. She was told all about her former life and the way she was trained in heaven. Well, then I developed the Ouija board principle into telepathy. I now communicate by pure instantaneous telepathy. I also receive scripts. You may have seen some on my website from people who've lived before. And I just sit down and write. Sometimes I can do it on my computer pad, but normally I just sit down with a pen and a piece of paper, and they write through me. I have no idea what they're going to say. And usually they turn up in my home here. I don't ask for people to come. I will suddenly say to my partner, "Oh, so-and-so's over there, standing in the corner." And then I talk to them. They talk to me telepathically. And we have a conversation. Some of them are in distress, people who've just been killed, such as the Haiti earthquake. I had a couple of people from that who told me that they'd been killed in the earthquake. That kind of thing happens to me constantly. So those are my two methods of communication. Well, communicating with the high spiritual beings, I found that I was clairvoyant. I could see them. So I see somebody come into my room. Mm-hmm. I can see what they're wearing. And very often I know instantly who they are. Sometimes I have to ask Jesus Christ, because he's one of my permanent guides. I'll say, "There's somebody come, isn't there, sir?" And he'll say, "Yes." And then I'll think a bit and I'll get the name. So I'm having conversations regularly with people who've been dead sometimes thousands of years, even the pharaohs.
Now here's the question. Now, you were talking about your wife, how she came back. There had been a plan, then she came back in a different incarnation. So that speaks to the question of reincarnation. So I assume that you feel that reincarnation is indeed a reality.
It's absolutely a reality. After we got into communication with the hierarchy, which includes our Creator, the Lord God, and God, it's not just a one God system. There's the Creator who created the Lord God, and he created God. Now, God is in charge of people's karmas. And karma, of course, can only exist if there is such a thing as reincarnation. The way I found out about reincarnation is that I was able to recall many of my former lives, at least 14. And this was done in one way. It was done in more than one way. But in one way, God would ask me to sit down and close my eyes and just relax and not think of anything. Then a scene would run through my mind. For example, a Roman incarnation I had nearly 2,000 years ago when I was on a ship. And I ran through this whole incident, and I'd pick up the trauma that existed at the time, and this kind of thing. I have the recalls become very real, so I then write them down later so that I don't forget what they were. But I find they're not forgettable. All these recalls stay in my mind as though they happened last week. Incidentally, I can remember my last life very clearly. It's listed in my website, spiritualitychief.com, where I was born in Athens just before the First World War, and when the war started, I was called up in the militia, sent to the northern border with Bulgaria, where, without a shot being fired, we were captured by the Germans, who came over the border and just imprisoned us. I was sent to the Tiergarten in Berlin, which is the zoo, and I later had that confirmed by a friend. We were kept in a hut with no food, nothing to drink, and I tried to escape, and during the attempt, I froze to death. I have that memory as though it only happened last week. That was my previous life to this one.
Now, in reincarnation, now you talk with the dead. Now, obviously, if they're reincarnating continually, are there long waiting periods between the reincarnations? And where are they, quote, where are they in this time? Is it kind of a waiting period?
Yes, there can be short periods. Mine was a short period, of course, because I died in 1914. In my previous life, I was born again in 1920. That's only a six-year difference. On the other hand, I have had a life on another planet thousands of years ago, tens of thousands of years ago, and that would have been a long period. But I'm sorry, would you just repeat that?
You said that you were born on another, I didn't say anything there, but you mentioned that you had been born on another planet during one of your incarnations.
Yes, just to let you know that there can be long periods. Now, you ask where they are. Well, there are seven planes in heaven, and the Sphere 8 is the governing plane. So there are eight, really, but the Sphere 8 is where the governors of the universe are. Now, the aim or the purpose of existence is to rise spiritually. We are all part of our Creator, and we have to go through almost all forms of life as we progress up the spiritual scale. Now, somebody who's been evil on earth and done wicked things will finish up on the lower astral plane, which is where all the layabouts, the drunks, the criminals, and people like that end up. They become as they have thought. As Jesus Christ said, as you man thinks in his heart, so is he. You become what you think. Then people are reincarnated until they gradually, through successive lives, improve their behavior, because every action has a reaction. You cannot perform anything or say anything on this earth that does not have a reaction of one form or another. If you say something good or you try to help somebody, that will have a beneficial reaction. If you say something to hurt somebody or you physically hurt them, that will have a reaction. Now, this is where karma comes in. You will see a statement on my website from our Creator himself, where he says, karma is my law. It is inescapable. We create our own lives, and we are today the end product of everything we have ever said and done in all our former lives.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, based on your karma, that kind of slots you into where you go during your, quote, waiting period. So there really isn't kind of the concept of hell is a misnomer.
Hell is what you make it. I mean, you create your own hell. you go to, you see, your state of mind determines where you end up in heaven. As I've just tried to explain, if you've been really wicked, you will finish up with wicked people. This again brings us to the law of attraction.
Okay.
In heaven, or the spiritual world, if you prefer to call it that, people of like interests come together. So philosophers form their own societies. I'm a member of philosophers' societies. Musicians form societies. They have orchestras that play music. So you will find people of all interests on earth will come together in heaven. And that also means, of course, the evil ones will want to be with the evil ones. The good people will want to be with good people, and so on. So you get people with repeated incarnations gradually climb what I'd call the spiritual ladder until they get to plane five, when there is no reincarnation. On plane four, there is what is known as the Akashic Records. And anyone can go to those, and it is like sitting in a cinema. You see a replay of what you did and what you were in former lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you make your own judgment as to whether you need to reincarnate in order to expiate for the things you did wrong in former lives. Well, when you have finally led good lives in compensation for the bad ones, you get to plane five where you do not need to reincarnate. Then plane six, the one above that, is where all the great benefactors and the great people who've done things good for the world end up.
Why do we have such an abiding fear of death? Seeing that the reality in your eyes is not, I don't consider any of that particularly intimidating. Why are we afraid of death?
I think the reason is in each life, most of us come with the knowledge of our previous lives blocked out. And this gives us a chance to have a new life completely unfettered by the wrongs and rights of the former lives. If we came knowing everything we'd done in a former life, we couldn't live our present life properly. Now, having said that, some people do come with knowledge of a former life, but they are exceptional.
And on your website, and certainly your discussion earlier, you reference communicating with Jesus Christ, and you have the book My Conversations with Jesus Christ. In your conversations with him, did he express to you his thoughts on the present day world and how things are going down here, as it were?
I don't think that's in the book. What happened there, after he introduced himself to me, when my late wife was ill, I was just talking to a guide, and the guide, I said to the guide, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, yes. I said, is he there? And there was a pause, and then my hand wrote, I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth and Calvary. You have done well in this life. I shall speak to you later. Well, then he came and wrote to me later, and he's been with me for 35 years now. He comes to me at noon every day. And I asked him one day, I said, if I ask you 50 questions, sir, would you be kind enough to answer them? He said, right, write them down. So I wrote down 50 questions about Jesus Christ. Now, in the past, I did not believe the biblical version as it's stated in the Gospels. But when I was in Cyprus in the Royal Air Force in 1948, I thought I must find the truth about Jesus Christ. I read all the Gospels, and I came to the conclusion that he had been rescued from the tomb, that he had not died. And that turned out to be the truth. He was rescued in a way that is described in the book, and he died in Srinagar in India at the age of about 72.
Certainly, you talk about God, you talk about Jesus Christ, and other spirit guides. So obviously, I would not classify you as an atheist, but certainly I've thinking that your view of traditional religion is not necessarily favorable.
It certainly isn't. No.
How would you address your feelings on traditional, what we think of as traditional religion?
Well, knowing what I know now, I know that they're man-made. They are really mind control systems, and my life has been based on my biggest asset, which is my intellectual independence. I must think for myself, and by thinking for myself, I've reached a spiritual height where I can see that the religions are on the wrong track. And in fact, I've only recently been appointed an honorary member of the Committee for the Rehabilitation of the Deeply Religious in Heaven. Because when they get there, they expect all kinds of things. They expect to fall in front of God or sit in front of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't happen. They have to be reprogrammed before they can be told the truth about their existence.
I'd be curious to think, or know, your position on near-death experiences. Do you think they're representing something really spiritual? What are your thoughts on them?
Oh, yes. If somebody receives a trauma, say they get knocked unconscious, or a hospital trauma where they're operated on and they nearly die, it nearly happened to me, actually. I was saved by a few seconds before I died after having an injection. Anyway, yes, I'm sorry, I lost my thread for a minute.
No, no problem. I was asking about near-death experiences and your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, because I can astral travel, I can leave my body at any time I want to without going through any procedure. I just go, and I can look down on myself. Now, you get reports of people under an operation looking down on and watching the surgeon and telling him what he did, and when they come round they say, I saw you do so and so, and they can't understand why, but he's just there looking down, because the mind is independent of the brain and is independent of the body. You can observe from being outside the body. I'd like to extend that for a moment. I was taken out of my body by the late Professor Carl Jung and a very high Tibetan Lama, and I was taken to India to the Lamasery Monastery, the Tibetan monastery in Lhasa. And I was taken into the Cave of the Ancients, which is a secret cave that was never normally known about. So I have been taken in my body to many places on Earth, but also very early on in my this present period, or some 30 years ago now, I was taken through all the planes in heaven, right to plane 7, which is God's plane. And I'm always accompanied by Professor Carl Jung and Dr. Albert Schweitzer when I do that, the late Dr. Schweitzer, because they are two of my most senior guides. And it was a remarkable experience. As I go up through the various planes, it's something like going up in an elevator. And I see the feeling I get as I go higher is one of exaltation. And when I get to the highest plane, I'm in a state of euphoria. In fact, when it comes time to come back, my heart sinks, and coming back to Earth is like coming down a coal mine into cold water. But as I say, I've been taken. What they do, they just say, sit quietly, and I'm taking you out of your body now. I see things around me. I can see the sea from where I live here, which is about 30 miles away, and then go up through clouds, through all the plains. And I have been taken by the Lord God through the Akashic Records on Plane 4, which is a beautiful building built in the Roman style with columns, round columns. There are buildings, there are seas, there are trees, rivers, houses. It's very, very similar to Earth. So nobody need fear death. For my personal concerns, I know where I'm going, I know with whom I shall be, and I know what I shall be doing. So I'm really looking forward to my departure from this planet, and I've been told it is my final incarnation, because I have now reached the plane 6, and there's no reincarnation from that unless somebody volunteers. So people can volunteer to reincarnate again, but I don't think I'm likely to do that, because I shall be too busy doing other things. Have I said enough about the out-of-body experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I do have a couple of questions, and one, if you addressed it and I missed it, I apologize. Why do you think you were specifically chosen for this, because you've had some extraordinary experiences? Why do you think that is?
Well, during my life, I've been helping other people to the extent that I have acquired the knowledge of or ability to do it. Several people were brought to me. I use that word advisedly, because there are no accidents. People who need help are brought help. And I have saved the lives of at least 4 ladies, and I physically saved the life of a young boy. So what happened was, I would be at a meeting, and a lady would be sitting next to me, and we'd never met, and she'd pour her life out to me in a sad story. Her partner, who was sitting next to her on the other side, was a suppressive. He used to abuse her, order her to sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up, really torturing her. Well, I counseled her during the lunch we were having, and she came to me. I implored her to leave him. I said, she'd already attempted suicide. This is the point. And she came to me sometime later at another diving meeting, it was, and she said, I've left him. I helped that woman, helped save that woman's life. Amanda had already attempted suicide before I met her. Because we were brought together deliberately, our creator told me, he personally chose me because I was the only man who could do it. Because of the knowledge I had acquired, having saved several people's lives by counseling them and explaining to them that what they are doing, committing suicide, they're only setting their karmas back.
Two more quick questions, where you've been very generous with your time. Do you believe that in some way, we are reunited with our loved ones?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My father, my cousin who was shot down in a Lancaster bomber during the war, he's with me almost every evening. My Aunt Ethel, my Nana, and two girl cousins come to me. They've all passed on, but I see them regularly. You will be reunited with your loved ones, I can assure you.
Well, that's extremely reassuring, absolutely. Now, one last question, and then I'd like you to share your website and so forth, so folks can know where to go on the internet. And I hope you won't take offense of this. I only mean this in the most complimentary way. You obviously have great longevity, and anybody who's listened to this knows that you have a great deal of mental acuity. Do you attribute your longevity and mental sharpness to your spiritual quest?
Yes. I was told that I should have normally died at the age of 72. I'm now 91, because I've been kept going to do the work on Earth for the spiritual hierarchy. I work with them every day, keeping my website going, counseling people, and generally helping people on Earth with my knowledge.
Well, we thank you for sharing your experiences and your knowledge with us today on the other side. Where can folks go on the internet to find more about Alan Valiant and all of your books and so forth?
Well, my main website is spiritualitychief.com. And my books are being sold on sphere8.com. That's sphere8.com.
Well, Alan Valiant, we thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the interview.
Thank you for tuning in to The Other Side. We will talk to you next time. Until then, take care. Bye-bye, everybody.